This time on Weather Brains, October's fall colors mean a trip to what James Spann calls an Alabama treasure.
Every Alabamian should go up and spend at least 2 days on that mountain in a cabin or a chalet and just see the beauty that we have up there.
Plus, coming up with a new name for something James originally started just to see what would happen.
I initially started doing that just for fun in my basement about 3 years ago, and now it's kind of a mission critical part of what we do.
Also, getting ready for a big event November 11th.
The actual agenda will run from 9:30 in the morning with a break for lunch till 3 in the afternoon.
It's Storm Alert Extreme.
The object is to bring in all the Sky Watchers to the show.
Plus, airing some dirty laundry, we learn about one of Brian Peters' vices.
It was an entire package of Oreos.
Partaking in wireless internet, a shocking confession.
I have learned that most jails don't have Wi-Fi.
Also, we thought J.B. Elliott would join us this time. Guess what?
He was at church.
George.
Now, I saw his car at a Hooters coming in here.
That and more coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast all about weather, put together by folks from the Weather Company in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm one of those Weather Company folks, David Black, saying hello. Thank you for being with us. Hello as well to James Spann, the lead meteorologist with ABC 3340 Birmingham. Also with us this time, the infamous Brian Peters, also of ABC 3340. James, what you know?
Well, I hope we don't get in trouble for using the word podcast. You know, Apple is starting to sue everybody that uses that word all of a sudden.
So do we need to get the Weather Company lawyers on standby, or should we just figure out a new name and be done with it?
Well, you saw us send Brian up there to break Steve Jobs' legs.
That's a good idea.
Careful.
Okay, so do we need to come up with a new identifying term?
You know what Leo Laporte is trying to get people to use is Netcast. And I guess
like
that's... That's not bad, because really the truth is, I would imagine a pretty good percentage of our listeners don't listen to it on an iPod. They listen to it on a computer or you know, some other portable MP3 player.
Yeah, a lot of us have MP3 players that are not iPods. So what if it was a Geekcast or something? Netcast is pretty good. Brian, any suggestions?
Well, I think since we don't say it's a podcast exactly in the title, we just call it Weather Brains. I don't think they'll come after us. Besides that, what are they going to get? From me, about 3 cents.
Well, hey, man, they want to take your MacBook Pro back.
Ah, I'll fight them for that.
So we have an identity crisis. What are we going to call ourselves? Let's come up with something, or whatever you guys think, or I can just go on.
I'm actually struggling to figure out what I'm going to call our map video. You know, we've done this kind of geeky video twice a day.
Mapcast.
We've always called it the map discussion video, and I've decided that's just dull. I mean, you know, perception and marketing, that's half the deal, so I got to rename that to something. So we need to look at figuring out if this is going to stay a podcast and if the, you know, what the map discussion video is going to be. So we'll figure all this out in time.
Weathercast sounds like a television weathercast, so maybe
And you know, webcast, that we call our regular, you know, for the public weather segment, a webcast. So we'll come up with something. Somebody was suggesting James Spann Unleashed.
Okay. Brian Peters at large.
Yeah, there you go. We'll figure something out. But I mean, it's a cool video, and this thing has shown exponential growth. I initially started doing that just for fun in my basement about 3 years ago, and now it's kind of a mission critical part of what we do. Right. And the cool thing, you don't know where we're going to be. I mean, I might be sitting here in the weather office at the TV station like I am now. I might be sitting in my house, in my home office. And, you know, if you watch Brian on the weekend, he's always sitting in his home office. He's got that fan thing going. You ever seen Brian's fan on there?
I'm not going to ask what you guys are wearing either in the home setups.
You don't want to know.
That is absolutely correct. You do not want to know.
And we won't go there. But, you know, I think you bring up a good point. A lot of people are really tuning into the map discussions just because they're a really good summary, and they allow you to go into the time that you don't have on the air on television broadcast.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing. I don't have a producer in my ear, so I can show whatever I want to show, talk as long as I want to talk, and talk about whatever I want to talk about.
Go as long as you want.
Yes, it's a free-form deal without having to worry about producers and timing and all that. And quite frankly, we've got some weather situations involving winter storms or flooding or severe weather or tropical where you need 10 minutes. So, you know, it's just a great part of my day. In fact, out of all the videos we produce, and we produce a big number of them here, that's my favorite one.
Well, cool. So we'll look forward to those, and I know people are already getting used to them. Also, a special hello to J.B. Elliott, who just jumped on board with us. Hello, Mr. Elliott. How are you?
This is Mrs. Elliott.
Hey, Mrs. Elliott. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. He'll be here in about 20 minutes.
Is he out at the grocery store getting some of those illegal groceries again?
No. He was at church.
Church. Now, I saw his car at a Hooters coming in here.
Well, he has by there on the way to church.
The truth comes through. Well, tell him to just give us a jingle when he shows up, and we'll bring him in.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
That was great having Judy on the program.
Judy Elliott, the other half of the J.B. Elliott regime, and she keeps him straight and probably keeps him away from some of those illegal groceries.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts and...
Lots of wives tend to do that. Brian, do you find that in your situation, your marriage? Do you get kind of kept away from certain foods or whatever?
Yes, unfortunately, the grocery store where my wife shops now has a one-cent special on Mondays, and she buys it just because it's a good buy, so I just had a few of that brand Oreo cookies.
We know those are sinful.
Now, wait a minute. They're selling these things for 1 cent? I mean, how much do you get for that?
You get like a whole package, just a second item for a penny, right? Is that how it works?
That's right. You don't get a second item.
Oh, that's right. You pay a certain amount of groceries. Yeah, okay.
1 cent.
And then, okay.
Okay. All right.
So it was an entire package of Oreos.
Did you polish off the entire package?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
But Brian can see. He's probably sucking those things down right now.
Well, see,
I'd
love to join you in them, but they're bad.
I mean, if you watch those map videos carefully, you'll see some food debris in his beard down there. You kind of get an idea of what he's been eating before he goes on there.
So. We need to buy him like a portable vacuum for Christmas or something.
Vacuum cleaner, something. Yeah.
Vacuum his beard.
That's not true because you want those videos on there so daggum early in the morning. I haven't had a chance to have breakfast at all before I have to do them.
Oh, it's getting ugly here at Weather Brains.
Oh, boy. All right.
Airing our dirty laundry. Maybe we're getting too personal.
You just check the times when they're posted, and they'll speak for themselves.
Well, now, I had a lot of problems on Sunday.
Technical difficulties?
Well, every time I rendered the stupid thing, I would get to the end of the rendering, and it would be like 139 megabytes, and it's like, whoops.
Can't fit that on your little thumb drive, huh?
No, I would go back, and something would get unchecked. Operator error, I'll admit to it, but... Couldn't figure it out, but finally got it done in about 9:30, I think, Sunday morning.
James, for all of the map discussion videos, all of the radio station broadcasts, you service radio stations throughout large part of the country, where would you guys be without computers today?
I don't know.
You wouldn't be doing a lot of this stuff, I guess.
I teach the young guys and girls that are coming out of college that your laptop is your transmitter. You know, back when we got in this business, you had one big transmitter at the television station, and it was in one place, and you had to drive to the station to get your product on the air 3 times a day. Well, now your product can be launched to anybody in the world at any place at any time. So
while you're in the parking lot of a fast food restaurant.
You got that right. In fact, I was working out of the back of the weather van a couple of weeks ago. I was in Gadsden, just sitting at a parking lot in downtown Gadsden using Wi-Fi.
I understand that you take Wi-Fi legitimately as opposed to certain others that we wouldn't mention here on the...
Borrowing Wi-Fi.
Brian taught me all I know about borrowing Wi-Fi. He's the best. I did the map video, I did all the radio feeds, I did the blog posts, the podcasts, all of that out of the back of a weather van using Wi-Fi. Goodness. And really, you know, soon we're going to have EVDO here, which most big markets have. In fact, I think one of the carriers has EVDO in Birmingham, and that's where you'll have broad bandwidth anywhere, you know, with the cellular service.
So, that's the super new high speed for folks who don't know what EVDO is, right?
Yeah, and look, we're just talking between us girls here. My carrier is Singular, And they keep saying they'll have it up soon or any day now. So the minute they get that up, then, you know, you plug in a card into your laptop and you can go, you know, live anywhere. And you're right, David. Having a good, reliable laptop is just crucial these days for what we do. And most of my time, it's not spent doing television weather. It's doing weather on radio and the internet, which involves having a good computer. So
what you do on the air on television is almost taking the back seat to what you do every day in general.
Right. It doesn't diminish the importance of being on television, and certainly that's where most of the revenue is derived. That's still the biggest audience, but that's just three times a day. And, you know, 5, 6, and 10 o'clock in the evening for my shift, and there's a great world out there that needs weather, and they need it right now. And if you're not on television, they'll come find you on the internet. And let me tell you what, if you're not there, they'll go find it somewhere else. So you have to be there.
And I want you to know, David, I've learned some of my best techniques, and I want to give you a quote while we were in Clanton.
Bring it on.
The quote was, just pull in here to this hotel and keep the engine running in case somebody...
Oh, no. In case somebody starts running at a high rate of speed toward the van, you can get out quickly? Is that what this is about?
Yeah, correct. And let me tell you, that was Mr. Spann, who I'm quoting, and I do believe that he will attest to the fact that's almost a direct quote. And of how can you... Unobvious.
I have learned that most jails don't have Wi-Fi, so
you've got to be prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this show isn't that old, and I'm already having to apologize for all the dirty laundry that's being aired here on Weather Brains. But
that's why people listen to this program.
People know the real story behind the people they hear and watch on the air. Hey, guys, we're into the brand new month of October, and if we get JB on board, we might pick his brain for some of the climate information. But it is a favorite time of the year for a lot of folks, I think you guys among them, because both of you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, have spent some time recently at Alabama's highest point, Mount Cheeha State Park. Would that be correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Looking at some of
I was there Saturday.
You judged a chili cook-off, is that right?
Yes. Saturday was their big arts and crafts festival up on Mount Cheeha, and they had a huge crowd up there. And
wow.
I was honored to be the judge of the chili cook-off.
Wow. So did you get to partake in some tasty chili?
Oh, yeah, man. You just go down the line. There's just crock pots as far as the eye can see.
I'll bet it beats the store-bought stuff.
Oh, man. And I like the hot stuff. And you know, the way people can tell it's really hot is if you start seeing beads of sweat up there in my bald head. I mean that.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
I've seen Murray, Bill, who gets on here with us, he works that way. So that's a sign of how hot it is. And some of them started making those beats pop up there. So it was a good day.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Well, the first week of October, of course, means that it is time to start planning that trip to check out fall colors. If you live in or close to Birmingham, you don't have to go far to do that, just like these guys have been going to, Mount Cheeha State Park. It's one of several popular spots this time of year. Robin Atkins is an assistant bookkeeper up at Mount Cheeha Park. She's on the lookout for color and is starting to see a small amount.
Well, right now the colors are just beginning to start changing, but we haven't really seen much turn in the colors at the moment.
Is it more visible at certain levels, certain altitudes?
Well, not really. It's the general uniform right now coming up the mountain. It's mostly just green right now. There are a few trees that are beginning to change to reds and browns, but it's a very little change right now.
I'm guessing what color there is probably pretty to look at.
Yes, it is.
Are you all pretty crowded up there right now, people staying in the cabins?
Yes, we are. We stay filled up here every weekend, especially now at this time of the year.
Robin, if you could make a prediction, what would you say the color would be like in, say, a couple of weeks?
In a couple of weeks, I'd say it would be it'd be about moderate. I don't look for it to really peak until the first part of November.
Okay, what about the areas around the park? Any color in the lower levels?
No, sir, not right now.
Still pretty green up there, it sounds like.
Yes, sir, it is. A lot of times the color, the variations in color and the brightness and hues all depend upon how much rain we get or have received recently, and also the temperature changes. That factors in a lot to when the colors will peak.
You've been up at the park working there for a number of years now. What does it look like when the area is at its peak?
Oh, it's beautiful. You have various shades of golden yellows and oranges and browns and rust colors. It's beautiful.
Sounds like I should definitely bring my camera.
Yes, definitely.
Tell me about the cabins and the folks you have staying up there. How busy are you right now?
We're at capacity. We have a total of 16 cabins and chalets all together and 30 motel rooms, and they're all filled up. Our guests come from all over the Alabama area, and they also come from the Florida Panhandle and from the Gulf Coast area.
Are you all filled up, not just right now, but for the next few weeks?
Yes, sir. We generally stay filled up on Fridays and Saturdays mostly. During the week, it's not quite as full, but we still do have a lot of visitors during the week as well, just to see the fall colors.
Ah, so what I'm hearing is if we were to sneak up there on, say, a Tuesday or a Wednesday for a couple of days, we could stay up there then?
Yes, it would be a lot easier to get something if you came during the week, like on Sunday through Thursday. I did want to mention that 3340 does have a webcam here on top of our restaurant so that you can view the colors for the season by going on their webpage.
Do you look at that camera much yourself?
Yes, I do. I check it quite often.
Oh, so you've got the best of both worlds. You can see the webcam, plus you can see the leaves if you step outside yourself.
Right. It's beautiful.
Great. Robin, thank you very much for talking with me, okay?
Okay, you're welcome.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And if you'd like to know more about visiting Mount Cheeha State Park, you can find them, of course, on the web. They are at Cheeha St. Park, CheehaStPark.com. Their phone number is 800-846-2654, 800-846-2654. And here's a report we pull for you on fall color in Tennessee. Currently, the Tennessee landscape still clinging to the green of late summer as well. All of the spotters there reporting about a 10% or less change of color at this early stage of the fall season. In the higher elevations of the Great Smoky Mountains, American mountain ash are turning yellow. A few bright red scarlet maples have been spotted along Newfound Gap Road. That sounds pretty. A small amount of color from dogwoods, sourwood, sweet gum, sumac, and scarlet maples is present in the lower elevations of the Smokies, we're told. Little or no color being reported along the Highway 2570 corridor. That's a popular fall drive that crosses through the Cherokee National Forest. And a few trees in the higher elevations of Lookout Mountain and Signal Mountain around Chattanooga are said to be just beginning to show some change, while lower elevations are still green as well. The folks out of Tennessee will be issuing another update just in another couple of days. In fact, by the time you listen to this webcast or this podcast or whatever it is, there may be a new update from the folks in Tennessee. If you want to check them out on the web, they are at fall.tnvacation.com. So there you go, fall color. James, you were up, as we mentioned a moment ago, at Cheeha State Park on the chili cook-off. You saw a little bit of color up there, but I'm assuming, based off what we just heard from Miss Atkins, that maybe you didn't see a whole lot up there just yet.
Yeah, you know, you have to look for it. I put a few pictures up on the blog, which is alabamawx.com, and there's always a lot of stuff on there. But scroll down to a post on October the 2nd. It says chili cook-off at Cheeha, and the first photograph I posted was a shot looking up into the trees. And when I took that picture, I was near the Bald Rock Overlook. I went off on the trails less traveled, but you can see some pretty decent reds up in there. But generally speaking, the color was predominantly green, and I think she's dead on. She mentioned that probably this year the peak is going to be that first week in November, and I really think that's right. It's going to be a while, but this is a great time to get up there. And I do believe that every Alabamian should go up and spend at least 2 days on that mountain in a cabin or a chalet and just to see the beauty that we have up there. It's sad to me that many people have never been up there before, so it's an Alabama treasure.
Well, maybe they'll take heed and go visit the website and check it out. You are a fall kind of guy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, and it's my favorite time of the year, and I love going to schools, you know, off in the country, especially in late October, early November, and check out the fall colors. It's just a great time of the year. And, you know, Peters, he hangs out at Cheeha. He's a Cheeha guy.
Brian, you've been up there how many times now recently?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Lost track. Three or four.
You get the same place every time?
Well, we got a couple of campsites we really like the best. And last time we saw six deer. We thought we were going to go through the,
goodness,
the entire camping week or weekend without seeing any. And then on the last night we saw six, including a fawn that looked to be probably like junior high kind of size, because it still had its spots, but a little bit larger. Wanted to mention, David, October is one of the most interesting months weather-wise. James and I like it. I'm sure JB likes it too. And a lot of people really like October because, you know, the transition. Kind of like, you know, after the winter, you kind of like the transition in the spring. But October is interesting because our lowest rainfall ever in Birmingham since 1895 has been zero. Isn't that interesting?
Goodness.
October 1924, not a drop of rain.
Nothing at all.
Not at the official observing site. Now, it's not to say, you know, like the last few days we've seen, what, a shower taking up maybe 3 square miles or something. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, October 1995, James, what was the weather event in October of 1995?
Hmm. I would have been Hurricane Opal.
Bull, bingo.
Give this, that guy, man a this guy is a walking encyclopedia of weather. You and JB are amazing.
Well, JB and I almost died during that. We walked out behind the television station. And JB has mentioned that on this show. At the time, I was working up on Red Mountain. I better not say the call letters, but we walked outside that back door, and that's about the closest lightning strike we've ever dealt with, which was weird because with tropical systems, you rarely have that much lightning. So we thought we'd be safe and go out there, and boom, all of a sudden, it was close. Okay. But yeah, Opal was, that was quite a storm in 95.
October 1995, 11.90 inches,
wow,
which is the highest amount of rain ever in an October. So kind of interesting to go with from zero to nearly 12 inches.
But as a general rule, we're not supposed to expect much rain this month, right?
Correct. Yes. I think the average monthly rain for October, and this is a 30-year average, is I think 3.23, I believe. So 3.25 inches of rain. So we don't usually get much.
Well, the watering restrictions that were in effect earlier in the summer across most communities in Shelby County have either been removed or eased. So I guess that is done on the assumption that we'll get through October okay, even though we may not see a whole lot of rain. And speaking of October and climate, let me ask you guys this. We touched on this in a previous show. We had a spell of very refreshing cool weather not too long ago, just in the past couple of weeks, and I remember hearing a kind of a caution that it might still get warm again in October, and it sounds as if that's maybe what we're going to be seeing. Is that right?
Yeah, it does take a rocket scientist to figure out you're going to have some warm weather in October. We do every year. In fact, if you look at the record book, David, our warmest October temperature in Birmingham is 94, and that was recorded three times on October the 1st, October the 5th, and October the 8th in a number of different years. So it can be awfully toasty in October. But on the other hand, you know, you look at the other side, it's been as cold as 27 in the month of October. That was recorded October 28th and 29th in a couple of different years back in the 50s. So the temperatures are typically all over the board. And the other thing about October, we get the dry continental air coming in here, and that heats and cools very effectively. And it's fairly common for you to be, you know, in the 40s in the morning and wind up in the 80s in the afternoon. So I tell people all the time, you got to keep your summer clothes out and your fall close out, because you'll need them both this month.
Something else, too, when you're talking about those temperature extremes where it can get so cold or so hot, obviously it's not at all out of the question for severe weather to be an issue in some Octobers, too, right?
It can happen, but typically November is the big month, David. That's when things really start to shake and bake. And, Brian, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't think of any major tornadoes in October. Do you know of any here?
No, I can't think of any either. I usually try to say the secondary tornado season in Alabama is November, but it can spill over into early December, and it can sometimes begin in the very latter part of October. So,
okay, so maybe, you know, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Maybe November is the bigger month then.
I tell you one thing, though, I do recall it snowing here in October. We moved in October of 1993. Now, this was the year of the great blizzard of 93.
Mm-hmm.
We were moving into a new home, in October of 93, and I clearly remember that it was snowing. It was flurries. It was not enough to, you know, get an accumulation on the ground, but we had snow flurries because we were moving that weekend, and that next morning I had to speak in the big house at our church. So it was just one of those strange weekends where I got up and I looked outside and there were snow flurries in October. So just an example of the wild weather that you can have this time of the year. But again, I, like Brian says, the true severe weather season kind of holds off until November. That is what I might even suggest is the wildest month of the year. You can have snow that gets on the ground. You can have horrible tornado outbreaks and flooding and everything else. So November, you just kind of strap in. It's like a roller coaster ride.
Well, speaking of November, let me ask you guys this right quick that ties off severe weather. Brian, you as a former warning coordination meteorologist with National Weather Service, and James, of course, from your years on the air, do you guys feel as if people have enough awareness of the severe weather threat for the latter part, the fall, the Novembers, as opposed to spring when severe weather is sort of the considered traditional time? Do you think people are aware of, well, sufficiently aware of the danger?
I think they do, David, just because that's been the big season since 1998. Every big tornado event has come during the fall season. Now, you look at the Tuscaloosa tornado, the F4, December 16th of 2000. November 24th, 2001, we had three dozen tornadoes in one day. And then November 10th, 2002, that was the Carbon Hill night where those long track tornadoes got on the ground. So I think the sheer number of severe weather events in the fall season, I think most people have to know that there's something going on now with that time of the year.
Don't you go along with that, Brian?
Yeah, I go along with that. As a matter of fact, it is kind of interesting. I was giving a talk the other day, and somebody asked about November, and I looked at it a little more in detail, look at some of the statistics. And what's interesting is just 98 or 99, I can't remember which year it is, November was the fourth biggest month in Alabama in the number of tornadoes. Today, November has eked out and is now the leading month in terms of the number of tornadoes. So in just a matter of, what, 6 or 7 years, November has shot up, and it's those outbreaks that James was just detailing, those outbreaks with the large number. I recall before I left the Weather Service that day when we had 36 tornadoes in the state in one 24-hour period, it was like, wow. I mean, you know, you just don't see that very often, and it's usually going to be in the spring, not in the fall. I think the big difference between March, April, May, the primary season, and November, the fall season, is the intensity. James mentioned some long track storms and, of course, the F4 in December 16th, 2000. However, when you really look at the number of F4s and F5s, or let's drop back and say F3s, F4s, and F5s, really the spring is the predominant period of time that you're going to see those. Not to say that you can't have something like that in the fall, but they are a much more rarer event than they are in the springtime.
Well, speaking of the severe weather threat in the fall, I assume you guys are moving ahead with planning Storm Alert. For folks who may not know what that is, tell us, and what are you planning?
I'm excited about that, Dave. I'll let Brian explain it. It's kind of his show, but a few years ago, we decided to try a fall Storm Alert show. For years, for 10 years, we've done the Storm Alert Tour in the spring, or really before the spring begins, and mainly in February. And we take it to small towns, and you know, sometimes we'll do shows here in Birmingham, but that's kind of an entertaining type thing. We do a lot of video and production elements. This thing in the fall, it's a teaching day. It's not, you're not going to, you know, have all kind of super duper entertainment. We don't sit there and sign cards or give out prizes. Brian teaches, and I think that it's really going to get exciting now that we have these sky watchers. So in fact, Brian just gave me the schedule today, David, so how appropriate is that to bring up Storm Alert Extreme for this year? So Mr. Peters, what's on the docket?
Well, we're going to be sponsored this year for the first time by the International Car Show at the BJCC. I think it's the Birmingham Area Car Dealer Association, and I'm probably butchering their official title. They're going to sponsor it. We're going to have it at the BJCC again. It'll be from the actual agenda will run from 9:30 in the morning with a break for lunch till 3 in the afternoon. We're going to have basic spotter training that will take up most of the morning. Then we'll have a break for lunch, and we don't have the details for lunch worked down, but we're working on some stuff there. Then we'll have James is going to do a program on the Skywatcher program, and I don't know what he's going to cover, but he's going to cover a multitude of things about the Skywatchers. And then we'll end the afternoon with an advanced storm spotter session. So really excited about having it, and really excited that the dealership group in Birmingham, the Dealers Association, has stepped up and wants to sponsor this. And so we're going to have a room down there. Parking, of course, could be a problem, I guess, with the car show underway, but we're even going to try to work it out. We haven't got it worked out yet, but we're going to try to work it out where they'll actually be able to get into the car show as well. So kind of excited.
Yeah, now you guys have had a lot of people join the television station's effort, the Skywatchers program, James. So this is going to be, what, the first opportunity then for a lot of these people to learn about severe weather spotting?
Yeah, the object is to bring in all the Skywatchers, David, to this to the show. And number one, it'll give us a chance to know one another. You know, we have really been working together now since early in the summer, but this will give us a chance to know one another a little better and maybe, you know, put a face with an ID that you see on the conference. But for a lot of the Skywatchers, they've yet to go through the formal training. So we'll give them a chance to get the basic and the advanced class. And I am a big believer, David, and even if you've gone through this many times, you need to go through it once a year as a refresher. There's always something new we learn. There's always new case studies. There's always new information to share. So even if you've been to a basic or an advanced Skywarn class, I think you need to go every year. So having this extreme show once a year is a great chance to do that, and especially for the Skywatchers. And I think it's just going to be a lot of fun getting these people together and meeting each other for the first time.
And that is Saturday, November 11th. So put that down on the calendar, and I'm sure we will be talking about that as we get closer to the event. But you just can't, there's no excuse for not knowing if this is all available, and it's all free.
Yep.
Can't
beat that. Just come on down. You don't even need to register. Just show up. And I encourage you, if you've got kids that really like weather, teenagers that have a real fascination with weather, this is the kind of thing they really need to check out, because I think it'll spark on that interest. I was encouraged as a young person with, you know, the ham radio hobby and getting involved in that at a young age. And if you got kids that like weather, bring them down. It'll be a day they'll never forget.
Very well. Anything else, guys?
Yes, I'd like to mention that the coldest day ever in October, the coldest high ever, 42 degrees on Halloween 1993.
Wow, that is cold.
And you know, I think Brian Peters was staffing the weather service back in 1924, the year they had no rain. So Brian, isn't that true, Brian?
I think so. Older than dirt.
Oh, more dirty laundry airing here on Weather Brains as we wind things up. Well, JB Elliott, I guess, got tied up with his church activity, so he was not able to jump in and join us, but he may can join us next time. I hope so. If you'd like to contact us here at WeatherBrains, you can do that a couple of ways. Our email address is question@weatherbrains.com. If you would like to hit us up with a telephone call, that's easy too. Area code 206-339-5482. 206-339-5482. A reminder that the opinions you hear expressed here on Weather Brains are not necessarily those of ABC 3340 Television. For Brian Peters and James Spann, I'm David Black. We thank you for listening and hope you can join us again for the next edition of Weather Brains. Weather Brains is copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Adios. All right, gentlemen. Thank you all very much.
Thanks.
See ya.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.